Okay, we're talking about indie film now. We're talking about The Last Lullaby, which is a film we saw by Jeffrey Goodman, who's a director out of Shreveport, Louisiana. We saw his screening this morning at the San Jose Camera Cinema, right? Club.
Yeah, Camera Cinema Club. Actually, Baha Barry invited us out. And this was our first time going to a cinema club event, which was a great experience in itself.
Do
We
you want to explain
went.
how that works, by the way, quickly?
Sure. So they have an actual club, and you can go on to Camera Cinema's website and find out more. But essentially, they get together once a month, and they either do a pre-screening of a movie that's going to show up, or just a very esoteric or different, movie. And they generally have a discussion that goes on with it. And today, for example, Jeffrey Goodman, the director for The Last Lullaby, was in town. And after the conclusion of the movie, he was there to answer questions.
Right, there was a Q&A. So we went into this movie with two things. First of all, not knowing what movie we're going to see. You go sit down, and it's a little bit of a surprise, and
Yeah,
that's what
that's
makes it kind of fun,
part of
right?
the it's a
Part
part
of
of the
the, yeah.
surprise, yeah.
And so that makes it very interesting. And then this movie starts rolling, and then we have no idea what it's about. I thought, now this movie is the easiest way to categorize it is probably film noir.
Well, they were talking about whether it
We're
was
talking
going to
about
be
that later.
categorized film noir, but based on the definition given at the end, and it's quite controversial term as we hear by filmmakers, I would consider a film
Film noir,
noir.
well, yeah, because it's about people trying to establish who they are, the relation to the people around them, the world, and they have angst. Tom Sizemore is the star of this film, and Tom Sizemore.
Well, I think you didn't highlight the film
Oh,
noir part of it, which
okay.
is this whole idea that this idea of a worldview that the world is not a happy place, that people have to do things to compromise maybe sort of what is considered good in order to get what they want. And
You
I
said the
think
world's not a happy place? Well, I
not a
think
happy
there's
place.
glimpses of hope, but they struggle through to find that, how to achieve that hope. There's a dream and a destiny.
No, I'm talking about the definition of film noir, not
The
particularly
de
this film.
Well, everyone has their own which definition. That's your definition.
No, that was the one that was given by
Oh, that was a long definition,
by
though.
the yeah, by the
The San Francisco filmmaker,
by
photo.
the not the filmmaker. He's the head of the camera club. He's a
Tim.
Tim,
No, but he
yeah.
was quoting the San Francisco filmmaker,
Oh,
though, if
okay.
you remember correctly, but I do.
Anyways, back to the film, which is what people are tuning in to
Right,
hear
right.
about. So this was The Last Lullaby, and it's essentially about a guy to play by Tim Wiseman,
No, Tom
Tom
Sizemore.
Sizemore. Okay,
Tom
can
Sizemore. Tom Sizemore was in Heat. I remember him. He played a very significant character in Heat, which was a Michael Mann movie. He was also in, oh, now I forgot the name of the Steven Spielberg war movie.
No
What was
one.
the name of the one with
Now
the.
I'm thinking of that Saturday Night Live episode where they talk about the famous people mom translator. So
You said
my
something that equals
Tim
Tom Sizemore.
Wiseman equals
Tom
Tom
Sizemore,
Sizemore. There
right.
you go. For those of you who
Watch
tuned into
Saturday Live. I don't know
SNL, you'll
everyone
know
watches it.
exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Anyways, back to sorry.
What was the name of that Steven Spielberg military movie? I can't believe I'm drawing a blank on it right now. The famous one. Anyways, Tom Sizemore was in that too. But he's had his own share of problems recently, right? I mean, he's had his own personal demons and issues. So when you watch him act in this, I would equate it a little bit to
How he is in real life or
No, no,
something?
I think Mickey Rourke.
Oh, you
Mickey
know
Rourke, who's a
what?
very talented, I think one of the best actors of our time, who took a little detour with boxing, a little bit of oddity, dating models, but he made a comeback in The Wrestler. When
Yeah.
you watch The Wrestler, and I haven't seen it yet, so I don't know for sure, but when you watch The Wrestler, so I'm told, you really get the sense of the pain and
Actually, you
anguish.
know what? Now that you bring that up, some of the more intense scenes in this movie, I do get that sense of kind of struggling soul, dark, brooding sort of character that I think helps an actor if they've sort of been through some of that.
Right. I think he's drawing on real world experience and
Yeah,
what's happening
yeah.
there. I mean, when you look and he's
But anyways,
twitching and
okay,
he's.
back to the movie. So the premise of this movie is you have this guy, and you find out early on that he's very good at essentially killing
We
people.
can even. Okay.
But you find out
Okay, so he's a
later
hitman.
that he's a hitman. But when you start the premise, you don't realize this. You see him.
You should say spoiler alert, maybe, or something.
Well, I didn't say hitman. I said he was very good at killing people, which you find out in the first scene. So I didn't spoil that part, you know, Clint.
Well, that's true. That, yeah, that's right.
Well, which is why I said he was not, why I didn't cut to the chase and said he's a hitman. Thank you. You know, spoiler alert, I guess it's a little late. But anyways, so he saves, essentially, in the beginning, this woman from a bunch of thugs, and then goes on to, as the story unfolds, he needs to sort of figure out what is good and what is bad. And essentially, like in most film noir movies, you find out that good and bad, it's all relative.
That's exactly right. I was just going to say there's a line in the play, sorry, the movie, that speaks about morality.
Yeah.
And it's not a slippery slope, it's a sliding scale, is the term that's used. It's exactly right. So there's no black and white. A lot of Hollywood movies today are black and white. The good guy, the bad guy.
Yeah.
This movie is one of those ones, like a lot of film noirs, where it's not absolute.
Yeah. Well, I think let's talk a little about the style so that we don't give too much of the plot away, because they are coming back on June 12th to San Jose actually do the film this. I think either at Cinema 3 or 12 at the Camera Cinemas.
Downtown San Jose.
Downtown near the San Jose Rep. But I think one thing that I really liked about this movie, which I didn't know until Jeffrey Goodman started talking about, was the sort of naturalistic way he handled the whole film.
No special effects.
And also not that much use of scores, of music, right?
There is music, but it's very effective.
Yeah,
it's
not used to set the mood or anything. Right. It's maybe just used to highlight certain things. I thought that part was done well. And the other part of it, which you mentioned, Clint, that you liked, was the pacing of it. You know, Jeffrey Goodman said, you know, his view of it is that this world and events are happening faster and louder. And louder in film. And if you sort of take that to its natural conclusion, it just is absurd. And therefore, what he was really looking for in this is a more quieter, restrained impact, so that the violent scenes were there, but they weren't like any other Hollywood movie. They would have been times
four. The way he told the story, it punctuated the violence and it punctuated the sexiness without putting it in your face.
What sexiness?
No, there was sexiness there.
Where?
Without it being overt. There was.
I know. I was just playing a spot.
So he took a script, by the way, that came out of, now I forgot his last name, but his name was Max, who wrote a script that was bought by Steven Spielberg, who then wrote Perdition. And, you know, this is amazing. Jeffrey Goodman, he worked on this film. He's working on this film 6 to 7 years of his life. He's 35 now.
Yep.
He started working on it. He's spending he said, what's one more year? I spent 6 to 7 years working on this script.
So he's actually doing an independent distribution of it.
He raised the financing out of Shreveport, Louisiana. He got 50 investors putting in a bunch of money. Now he made the movie, mm-hmm. right? And they got Tom Sizemore, which was a score, and a bunch of other actors. Now he's going around flogging this movie across North America, doing sales and marketing, basically promoting the thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's incredible.
And I think it just highlights the opportunity with the social networks, social media, to be able to have this opportunity. Because I think right now, you know, with Facebook's blogs and everything, that there is this possibility of being somewhat successful with a film if you do independent distribution. Whereas in the past, you really had to go through one of the larger production
houses.
He
was saying, you know, I think the distribution model, like a lot of things these days, has changed, even for movies. And so he said, you know, rather than give away the rights to the film, he'd rather be doing this hands-on and doing it himself.
Yeah, overall, I was surprised with the quality of this film. And I thought that, you know, I have stayed away from a lot of action films currently, and after what Jeffrey said, it really made sense why I was staying away from them, because it was just too much, like just the noise and everything else. Whereas this was very violent film if you think about the actual plot.
There's a lot of violence, but
and if you think about the sort of betrayals that happen, you know, if you watch you'll see what I mean by that. It was a very violent, dark movie, but
I wouldn't say very violent though. It was more about the inter, how do you explain it? You know, someone trying to find their place in the world, fighting against the angst, the demons. Both the people, main characters in the movie, the man and the woman who become love interest, are fighting events that happened in their past and trying to deal with it and move forward.
Yeah, but a lot of people died. I mean, violent from that way. You're comparing to violent as in like Hollywood, big guns. I'm like, okay, saying, this is not Terminator guys.
I'm saying
right?
there's definitely scenes of violence, but I'm saying that doesn't become the center.
And I'm saying it's my opinion. And I thought that the movie, from a plot perspective, was very violent, especially in terms of the relationships of the people that are committing violence towards each other. But at the same time, it was a very thought-provoking and digestible movie because it wasn't just in your face and exaggerated.
You're forgetting about the swimming scenes. They both like to swim.
What?
That's the essence of the movie. You're forgetting these people, these things, the moon, the swimming that draw these people, these lost souls together. But anyways.
Boy, I guess he's the romantic one here, and I'm just the thinking about all the money and violence that's in this movie.
It's not a chick flick, that's for sure. But it's an excellent movie. Well made. It looks good. It sounds good. It's incredible. They did it for under $5 million, which was the budget. So I'm Clint.
And this is Lonnie, and Clint always has to have the final word.
It's Dark Silver Creek. Thanks for joining us, everyone.